taxes for retirees and working families, to lower costs on insulin and electric vehicles, and expand access to mental health. As always, I'll work with anyone to deliver on these kitchen table issues.
Good day and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, I'm glad you've joined us. That was Governor Gretchen Whitmer from her fourth State of the State speech last night. The governor used the word together many times in her speech and talked about bipartisanship an awful lot. She also highlighted a number of policies that have wide support all over the legislature. That's as she kicks off a year that could decide whether she wins a second term after the November election. Governor Gretchen Whitmer joins me now to talk about her speech and what it means for the months ahead. Governor, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Good morning, Stephen. Good to be with you.
Yeah. So despite the fact that we're at or near the peak of this Omicron wave in the pandemic here in Michigan, you didn't talk much about the status of Michigan's public health response to the pandemic. I wonder why.
Well, I did start by acknowledging, you know, some aspects of the virus, right? I mean, you can't ignore it. It's still here. It's going to be here for a while. But we can't let that be the only thing we do. We've got to continue to grit our teeth and move forward and build an economy that comes roaring back and creates real opportunity for everyone. And so we've got to keep fighting the virus and acknowledge the incredible people who've stayed on the front lines and the sad loss of 30,000 Michiganders. We also owe it to everyone in the state to keep trying to find common ground around issues that can help people get ahead in with all the pressures that we're confronting. So I think we have to be able to do both.
So I also was really thinking that you would address the hearings last week at which it was revealed that more people died in nursing homes and long-term care facilities than we had acknowledged, and that the state had more knowledge of that than had been acknowledged before. I want to give you a chance to talk just about what conclusion you think we should be drawing from what we learned last week, and again, whether there are things that you now think we should have done differently.
Well, I know that there are some politicians in Lansing that are trying to politicize this issue. But if you actually read the Auditor General's report, it says that our data was accurate. And the state put the data out that we collected from the residential care facilities. The state's data was accurate, and the state followed all of the CDC guidelines. And because of it, we saved a lot of lives. Now, there's no question in this election year, there are people who are going to try to score political points on this incredible tragedy that played out globally. But we followed the CDC. We gave the data that was accurate, and we're going to continue to follow the science and listen to the experts and take action to keep people safe. But the narrative that some politicians want to put out there just simply isn't what was reflected in that report. And we're going to continue to hone our policies to make sure that they are focused on keeping people safe.
And you say that the data was accurate, which is true, but it also was misleading in the sense that it didn't quite communicate how many people were dying in these facilities. What's the answer to families whose loved ones are in those numbers and you know, we didn't know. The data didn't tell us exactly what was happening.
Well, I think, you know, we are looking at what played out globally. And the data was not the state's data. We collected the data from the residential care facilities.
Right.
And so I think that that's really important. We followed all of the guidelines by the CDC. We worked with our nursing home partners to make sure that they had preparations in the event they did bring COVID patients back into their facilities. But this virus, we know in the early days when we didn't have tools to fight it and we didn't know a lot about it, took an incredible toll on our elderly and especially people in facilities where many are housed together. So I think it's important to recognize we've learned a lot in this process. We've learned a lot about this virus. We now are armed with more tools to keep people safe. But the early data was collected at the residential level, and the state was in charge of collecting it, and we did that.
Okay, I want to talk a little more about your speech and what was in it last night. You highlighted a couple of ways of effectively cutting taxes. That's, of course, as the state continues to post really big budget surpluses, which only seem to continue to grow. You pitched two things that you have supported for a really long time. One, repealing the pension tax, and the other, increasing the state portion of the earned income tax credit. Republicans have their own ideas about tax cuts, broader corporate tax cuts. There's some talk about lowering the income tax rate as well. Talk about how open you are to negotiating with them on their plans to get some of your ideas passed as well.
Well, I would like to get this done. So I think a little context is really important, though. 10 years ago, when this pension tax, retirement tax, IRA tax happened, I was on the other side of it. I was fighting it because I knew this was unfair, and it was a shift onto people who could bear the burden the least to pay for a big corporate tax cut. They also cut the earned income tax credit, which helps the working, you know, people that are working families who are just trying to keep their head above water. They also bore the brunt of that tax shift, and that was my predecessor in the Republican legislature that increased those taxes. I've been trying since that day to defeat it and then to roll it back now that it's law. I am committed to this. This is the most fair way that we can give some relief to our seniors who are living on fixed incomes, who worked a lifetime, played by the rules, and then the rules got changed on them after they were out of the workforce, and to help working families. We've got to lift people out of poverty, and a million children are positively impacted when we increase the earned income tax credit, and that's why these are the best ways to help people in a world that is, increasingly squeezing them.
And so to get that through, I mean, that's one of the issues you ran on in 2018. You talked about the pension tax. Here we are in 2022, an election year, when you're saying you want to get it done. Again, though, Republicans are not against tax cuts, of course. they like it, but this was a tax they imposed on people. They've got other ways they want to lower taxes. What's the push and pull here, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, it'll be interesting to see now that these proposals are on the table, if the Republicans embrace them or stand in the way of rolling back the retirement tax and helping working people. I suspect we can find some common ground here, and that's what I'm going to continue to work toward. You know, I know that this is going to be a political year. We all know that's going to happen. But that's why last night's speech, I really wanted to focus on the things that we have done together, whether it is the major, massive investment that GM announced earlier this week, $7 billion in the state, 5,000 good-paying jobs. We worked together to create the tools that helped us make that become a reality. We're putting Michigan on the map. We can find common ground. We've shown we can do it. This is another space where I'm going to do everything I can to get it done.
I also want to talk a little more about what you said about COVID last night. You said kids need to be in class. I'm a parent. You're a parent. I think we all want kids back in school. Are you calling on school districts that are using virtual now to end that and bring kids back into the classroom? Is that the message you want to communicate to them?
Yes, and part of the message, too, is that in 2 weeks I'll be introducing the budget. We're going to make the largest state investment in public education in the history of our state. And I'm really excited about that, and this is how we give districts the tools they need to lower class size, to wrap the kids, the students with supports, whether it's counselors or it is social workers, to help kids get back on track. This disruption of this pandemic has taken a massive toll on their academics, on their social skills, on their mental health, et cetera, as it has on all of us. We got to focus on getting them in class and back on track. 98% of our districts in Michigan are in person right now. We've got some big ones that are not. I want to work with those districts to help support them so that they can get kids back in school.
And no question, money has some play over, or some influence over all this. But it's also their staffing issues at schools because of the pandemic that make it very difficult for some of these districts to be in person. What's the answer there? I mean, yeah, you can absolutely commit more money to schools to fight this, but if they don't have teachers, if they don't have support staff, how can they be open?
I think it is helping people go into this profession and retaining people. And you understand, teachers and parapros, all the support staff that makes our schools happen, they've been working incredibly hard, as they always do, but even more so in the midst of this pandemic. And people are leaving the profession. Just same with our healthcare. And that's why we're really focusing. We delivered checks directly to teachers last year. We made greater investments in our schools so that they could make a good living doing this important work. And there's going to be even more investment as you see me unveil the school aid budget in 2 weeks. We're putting the final touches on that. But it really is going to have a major investment in recruitment and retention in the ranks of our educators.
Yeah. Governor, you will stand for re-election this November. We don't know yet, of course, who your opponent would be. But I want to give you a chance to start off with what's the case that you make to voters to give you another 4 years? What is your message that says, hey, look, I've done this well, and I deserve another 4 years to do it?
Well, as I said last night, the state of our state is strong, and we're getting stronger every day. We have navigated the whole world crisis well. We see that our GDP is growing. 220,000 people have gotten back into the workforce over the last 12 months. We're making historic investments in the education of our kids, in skills training. We're increasing our workforce skills, which means bigger paychecks. So there's a lot of good stuff that is happening in Michigan. I'm not going to get caught up in all the ugliness of the political world right now. I'm going to stay focused on the kitchen table issues. That's what we have been doing, and that's what we're going to continue to do. We're putting our foot on the accelerator, better paying jobs, more equitable opportunity in Michigan, and I'm excited about what the future has for us.
Okay, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, always great to have you with us here on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk to State Capitol reporter Rick Pluta about the speech and get your reactions to what the governor had to say last night. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.